Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber, joined now by our CBS Sports college basketball reporter, Seth Davis, who's also a prolific writer. His new book, Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. You know, Seth, let me ask you about this book before we jump into the NCAA bracket. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Tiki. How you doing, sir?
I am fantastic. You know, we always say great coaches are made by great players, right? In college basketball, it's all about recruiting. If you can't recruit some of the best players in the country, then your chances of being successful as a team, unless you're an unbelievable coach like my own Tony Bennett, it's hard to win. You know, what's the message in this book? Because I think most people think it's the opposite. Great players make great coaches.
Well, that's definitely true, and Tony Bennett's got really good players, which is why I think they've got a great chance to win a national championship. So, you know, any coach needs talent. There's no question about that, Tiki. You know that as well as anybody. But, you know, there are certain qualities, I think, that personally that a coach or any leader needs to have to get the most out of whatever players that they have. And in the book, I outlined four of them, which I weave together what I call the peak profile, PEAK, which stands for persistence, empathy, authenticity, and knowledge. And so a lot of times, so for the book, which is now out in paperback, I've got nine coaches profiled in the book, six basketball, three football. So the six coaches are Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo, Gino Auriemma, Brad Stevens, and Doc Rivers. And my three football coaches are Jim Harbaugh, Dabo Sweeney, and Urban Meyer. And so I've told the story of their lives and their careers and all the ups and downs that they've experienced to show how they develop their persistence, their empathy, their authenticity, and their knowledge to get the most out of their teams. And, you know, a lot of people ask me what the common thread is between all those guys. And really the common thread is that there is no common thread. They all do it different ways. They all do it their own way.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines, he's a raving maniac. You look at Brad Stevens on the sidelines, he barely has a pulse. But as long as they are authentic to themselves, as long as they have empathy for their players, as long as their players believe that they know what they're talking about and that they can pass along that knowledge to help their players reach their individual goals, then you have a chance to win.
Yeah, Seth, let me ask you about, or I know you're obviously you cover a lot of basketball, but you know people. Let me ask you about Urban Meyer. And we all know what he went through over the last year and a half or so, and it's interesting to see where his career ultimately takes him. He's now, I think, going to do a Fox show come the college football season. What was your feeling? You know, not anything specific, but what was your feeling about Urban Meyer as a guy? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's hard in these settings. You know, I spent about an hour and a half with him and spent a lot of time talking to his wife. And you know, all these guys gave me great access, not only to themselves, but to their families and their players and people they've worked with. And, you know, in Urban's case, unfortunately, he only knows one way to do it, and that's, you know, all the way. And his body is not meant for it. You know, he has a cyst in his head, which gets inflamed when he gets under stress. So he has splitting headaches and gets very sick when he gets under too much stress. And he's so intense. You know, he comes from, you know, blue collar Ohio, you know, coaching in the shadow of Woody Hayes, and Earl Bruce was his hero. And, you know, sort of a rough and tumble dad, you know, who was very hard on him and very in athletic setting. So it's all about sort of toughness and manliness and, you know, pushing through things and pushing through physical pain and working harder than the next guy. And, you know, I think it's very easy for him to lose balance in his life and taking care of himself, getting his rest, getting his exercise, you know, allowing his mind to turn off. It's been a problem for him. I think he got better. You know, I think he was better than he ever was while he was at Ohio State. But clearly, towards the end, what was going on with him this season, his body just couldn't make it. So, you know, he can go a few years at a time, and then he just has to shut it down. So I don't know that he's done permanently from coaching, but he definitely needs to slow down and recover and try to make decisions about whether his physical health is worth compromising for another championship.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people get cynical regarding Urban Meyer and his, you know, his ailments. But It's an interesting story, one to obviously continue to follow. Getting to Us is the name of the book. It's now available in paperback, and I'm sure you can get it wherever books are sold. I get all mine via Amazon, so I might have to do it that way. But Seth Davis, who is our CBS Sports college basketball, not college football, college basketball reporter, is joining us here on Tiki and Tini. There's a couple of questions, Seth, that I have. One is about LSU. And this issue, this I don't want to call it a scandal, but Will Wade is suspended because he wouldn't talk to the university about this taped admission, for lack of a better word, that happened with Javonte Smart. But they're allowed, he's allowed to play, and the team is allowed to keep pushing forward. And the other issue, obviously, is over at Auburn as well, where Bruce Pearl had a couple of his assistants caught up into this. Why isn't the NCAA being more proactive with preemptively getting ahead of this?
Well, the NCAA has a big challenge in this regard, Tiki, because they've had to wait until they got the go-ahead from the Southern District of New York to be able to do their own investigations. You know, there are, even though the Southern District is making the argument that NCAA violations intentionally committed does amount to a crime, they're trying to argue that it amounts to defrauding a school and that there's fraud involved and money laundering, moving money around where it can't be traced. But it is a separate question about, you know, there might be certain things that prosecutors determine do not rise to the level of a crime, but the NCAA would consider it a major violation. But they can't move in until the feds have finished their work. Now, they do have many active investigations going on, but even in the case of, like, for example, something like what's going on with Will Wade, just because somebody says something on a wiretap or somebody else makes an accusation, there needs to be corroborating evidence. You know, the NCAA needs to find out if these things are actually true.
Yeah.
And so that takes time because they are not the FBI. They don't have subpoena power. They don't have the ability to wire people and listen in on conversations. So it's a little bit of a different process. But, you know, I do know that they have multiple active investigations going on right now, and they can use, because of a rule that was recently passed, they can use the information coming out of these trials for their own investigation. So it's going to take some time, but I know they want to move forward on this and try to, if they find violations, to make the, you know, hold those people accountable.
Yeah, no, and when you start looking at their brackets, LSU is our brackets, I should say. LSU is a 3 seed, and Yale, who's in the tournament for the second time in the last 4 years or so, plays a very fast, up-tempo style of basketball. Is there a chance for an upset here because of all of this stuff? Most people are talking about basketball, but some people may be thinking about what's coming down the line.
Well, you know, Yale a couple of years ago beat Baylor in the first round. Mm-hmm. You know, different players, different team, but I think there would be a chance of Yale winning this game without all of this going on. So, you know, who knows how, you know, those players are going to play and react and compete with Tony Benneford now coaching them as opposed to their head coach, the guy who recruited them, the guy who coached them, Will Wade. So that's kind of an X factor. I mean, they lost to Florida in the semifinals of the SEC tournament, so that was kind of an issue for them. We'll see if they're able to regroup. They're a very, very talented team. You know, they have a sophomore point guard, a little guy, Tremont Waters, who can really get out and go, and some NBA prospects in their front court. This guy, Naz Reid, who's a freshman, 6'10", strong kid on the boards, can step out and shoot three. So they had a terrific season. I mean, they won the SEC regular season title.
Yeah.
Nobody had that at the start of the year, but they've got a problem. They're going up against a Yale team that has a legit NBA prospect in Mie Oni, who's a 6'6 junior wing who can really score. And, you know, he had a good game, not a great game, against Harvard in the championship game, a good Harvard team, and they scored 95 points. So they're ready to get out and go and try to, you know, shoot and compete with LSU. So the Tigers better be ready or they could definitely get knocked out.
Yeah, that's one to keep an eye on. Seth Davis, CBS Sports college basketball reporter, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, I'm going to bring you to the upset of the upsets. What's happened last year, obviously, UMBC beat my Virginia Cavaliers. Gardner Webb is the opponent now for Virginia, who is number one. Again, there's no hangover, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, those kids will tell you that they're using it as motivation. They've got a chip on their shoulder. And, hey, if we survive that, we can survive anything. You know, I mean, that was quite a deal. You know, someone had to be first.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was Virginia, although I think in a lot of ways I'm kind of glad that Tony Bennett was the guy who was standing there representing college basketball in that moment, because he did it with such class and humility that I think it reflected well on the game in general. But, I, you know, listen, I mean, it, to me, Tony Bennett, the job. I think Tony Bennett, you could make the case, is the best coach in college basketball. And people say, well, his style can't win in March. Well, they've been to a Sweet 16, and they've been to an Elite Eight. So he's already won in March.
Yeah.
And he's won a ton of games, and it's still basketball. They're not playing different sport in March than they're playing. So that, to me, that's a lazy analysis.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament is a crapshoot. It's one and done. You lose, it's over. And there have been enough upsets over the years and enough crazy things happening over the years that we should all understand that by now, but there are too many people who don't. So if Virginia goes to Final Four, wins a national championship, I mean, I think that'd be a great bookend of the story. But I don't think they need to do that for Tony Bennett to be validated as one of the best, if not the best coach in the country.
No, and he's also a great mentor for young men, obviously, on that team.
Yes.
And we've seen the success of a lot of them on the NBA level now, from Malcolm Brogdon to Joe Harris, who people forgot about, who's actually a contributor out with the Nets right now. Who can upend Duke? The East does. I mean, I look at the left side of my bracket here and look at Duke sitting at the top end, obviously the number one overall seed. Maybe Michigan State, but they're down a player who got injured in their conference tournament. Who can upend Duke? Not just in the East, but really on the left side of this blank bracket to keep them from getting to the championship.
Well, Duke could get beat. I mean, let's not, you know, first of all, Duke was extremely fortunate with Zion to beat North Carolina in the semis of the ACC. North Carolina shot the ball terribly from three-point range, and they still had a possession at the end of the game to win. So, you know, this notion that Duke is so overpowering. Now, I've got to pick to win the championship. I do think they're the best team. They are the best defensive team in the country, and I might make the argument that they're the best defensive team Mike Krzyzewski has ever had. But they're also a horrible three-point shooting team.
Yeah.
And they're a pretty bad free-throw shooting team. And, of course, they start four freshmen. You just never know how those guys are going to react in a pressurized situation. You slow the game down. You take care of the ball a little bit. Make them play half-court offense, half-court defense, and maybe a little bit out of their comfort zone. So, look, they lost to Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech is in that side of the bracket. And even though they didn't have Zion for that game, Virginia Tech didn't have their starting point guard, Justin Robinson, and now he's back.
Yeah.
We'll see how effective he is, Tiki, but he's back.
Yeah.
So they have that familiarity having played them. And, of course, Michigan State's had an outstanding year, and they're getting healthier now. And Duke's my pick to win it all, but it's not easy to win these six games.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to play well and maturely to do it.
Yeah, you're right. Seth Davis, CBS Sports college basketball reporter, joins us here for another couple of questions. Seth, let me go over to the Midwest. And Mike Hopkins, who kind of quietly took over as head coach at Washington, has turned that program around quickly. Pac-12 Coach of the Year, 2 years running. He's now the 9 seed, takes on Utah State. But if he gets past them, he takes on the other number one seed from the ACC, and that would be UNC. Where's this Washington program, which was dormant for a couple of years?
Well, you know, he's done a really good job, and of course he's brought that Syracuse zone to the program, and you know, he knows how to coach it, he knows how to teach it. I think it's a very, very effective weapon to have in the NCAA tournament. That's why Syracuse is so often a surprise team in the NCAA tournament, because, you know, teams in the ACC, they're kind of used to seeing it, they kind of know what to do against it, but you get into the NCAA tournament, especially on a 48-hour prep, and it's very difficult. So if they do play North Carolina, I think it'll be helpful for North Carolina to say, hey, this is the same zone that Syracuse plays, so they kind of know what to do against it. And he's got good talent. I mean, he's got probably the best defensive player in the country, in Matisse Thybulle, who's just great at kind of sitting back and reading the other team and making a ton of steals and getting out on the break. And Jalen Noel is a really, you know, high-flying scoring guard who can really score the ball. So he's got some talent there, and he's got some good recruits coming in. One of the top recruits in the country, Isaiah Stewart, is a big kid from Rochester. But, you know, I'm also hearing, Tiki, that Mike is on the radar at UCLA. They got to go through some guys to get there, including your guy Tony Bennett they want to talk to. But I would be shocked if Tony took that job. Once they start kind of getting into more realistic possibilities amongst college coaches,
yeah.
Mike Hopkins is from Los Angeles. And even with the recruiting class that he has coming into Washington, it would be very, very difficult for him to turn down UCLA.
Interesting. Seth, one quick question, yes or no. Villanova lost a lot. DiVincenzo, Bridges, Spellman, all the Brunson, they're all gone now. But they won the Big East. Do they have a shot to win this thing or push through it again?
Well, technically they have a shot, but if you tell me yes and no, the answer is no. I mean, they, you know, the Big East really was not great.
Yeah.
They put four teams in the tournament. One of them's in the first four.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of took a little while for us to realize that the league was not really all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I give Jay a ton of credit with what he lost from last year and the season they had. Speaks well to their culture and his ability. And that's a very, very tough first-round matchup that they're getting in a St. Mary's team that just beat Gonzaga and can really control pace. So let's see if they get out of the first round first, and then we'll talk about them winning another title.
Seth Davis, I appreciate you. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.